Where are we holding by over here? This is where Laban is about to go and give over to Yaakov his daughter, supposedly Rachel. What's the story? Yaakov goes to Laban. He says, "Kimolu yamai, I completed my days. Right, I'm done with my work. I worked for you honestly, earnestly for 7 years. It's time for you to pay up. Right? Okay. Now give me your daughter's hand in marriage." That's what he was expecting. And Laban responds back to him, as we all know, with that fateful switcheroo. Gave Yaakov Leah. So can go on. Yaakov realizes. Yaakov gets upset. He goes to Laban. He says, "What do you do? Why'd you swindle me?" And Laban says back, look, do me a favor." He says, "Malei shavua zos, go and fill this last week for me, or fill this seven, whatever exactly that means. We'll leave it untranslated for now. Go and fill it out for me. Fill it up for me, and then we'll talk, and then I'll give you my daughter Rachel as well. Because in our place, that's not the minimum. We don't marry off the younger one before the older one. This is how we do things." Okay, so now, what was Yaakov's claim? What did Yaakov ask Laban initially with Malu Yamai? And what did Laban respond back with Malei Shavua Zos? What do either one of those two terms mean? So let's first look at Rashi, as the Ramban often does. So what does it mean that Yaakov said, "Ki Malu Yamai, my days have been filled, She'amra Li Imi, the days that my mother told me"? After all, my mother said, go, and it's about time to get married, so go, and find yourself a suitable spouse. So my mother told me to go and run away and go there for a little bit and find a spouse and then come home. So Yaakov says, "Oh, my time's up. I need to go and I need to go find a wife at this point. I need to get married." Number one. Number two, Rashi says, "But oh, kimalu yamai, my days have been filled. Hareini ben pei dalid shana. I'm shmonim ba'arba, 84 years old. The emasai am idyot be'shvatim. What am I supposed to have kids? I'm 84 years old. That's a lot older than my father was, or my mother, or my grandfather was when they got married. Let's go. I need to get moving. When am I going to have 12 sons?" Lashon Rashi. So that's number one from Rashi. Next quote from Rashi. Malei shavua zos. Laban responds back after he goes and does the whole trick. "Finish this week. Davaku b'chataf." The way it's spelled is with it. It's connected with it. Like a smichus. So shavua shel zos. This seven. V'hein zayin yimei hamishta. He means to say complete the shev brachos, as Jacob guessed, or as Jacob knew, right? That he finish up these shev brachos, finish up these 7 days. Gam zeh lashon Rashi. Okay, so if you're making a chart for yourself, picture it like this. What was Yaakov saying, Malu Yamai? His age, he's so old already at this point, or else the days that his mother told him to be gone, to go and get a wife. Okay, and what does Laban say a few psukim later, that, oh, finish the seven? What does that mean? It means finish the seven brachos. And Laban's just sitting there scratching his head. He says, "What? Wait, what? Is that how you guys would have read this psukim? Is that really what you would have thought?" Yaakov comes along and says, "I've just worked for 7 years. Malu yamai, my days are completed." We agreed I'd worked for 7 years. I finished 7 years. So what does malu yamai mean? 7 years. How old I am. Look how old I am. Or look at the time that my mother told me that I was supposed to be away for, to go and find a wife. They're up. Okay. Wait, what? No, that's not at all how you would have understood this psukim. This psukim would have thought, as Ramban says, as Unkelus says, you would have expected that Yaakov just said, "Ki malu yamai," is that my days are completed, so I finished the tenure, the time that we had agreed that I would work for Rachel, so now it's time for you to give me your daughter as my wife. That's what you would have expected. That's not what Rashi explains. So Ramban's puzzled. Ramban says, "V'im kein lama lo pir sharav malu yamai al shnei havoda v'atznai sheshamu kidvar Unkelus." If Rashi was already then going to move on to say, after Laban tells him, finish up these seven, that he now has to explain it as being about Sheva Brachos, why did Rashi have to explain the first part as being about the days of his life, how old he is, the days that his mother told him? Let's clarify. Let's think for a second. If you were trying to explain these two psukim, let's say you were Unkelus, or you were the Ibn Ezra, how would you have understood it? Laban says, "Here, just finish these seven." What are those seven going to be? Because in the previous few psukim, a few psukim ago, Yaakov said, "I finished my time." Simple meaning of those words, or that I finished my 7 years. If so, you're a little bit stuck. Because when Laban responds back, "Finish these seven," it can't mean the 7 years any longer. You understand? If Yaakov had said, "I finished my time," and simple shot is that I finished my 7 years. How could Lavin respond back, finish these seven? I already finished the seven. What do you mean? So that's what pushed Unkelus and the Ben Ezra to say, like Jacob. And it means Lavin says, look, just do me a favor. Let's finish Shev Brachos. You know, let's not make anything awkward here. Let's give Leah her time in the limelight. And then afterwards, after Shev Brachos, we'll go and we'll give you Racha. That's why Unkelus said, finish these seven. Well, what are these seven? They're Sheva Brachos. Sheva Brachos? Sheva Brachos? That's pretty weird. That's what the Ramban's about to explain. But Unkelus was forced. Ibn Ezra was forced. They had to turn to Sheva Brachos because Yaakov, a few psukim ago, had already said, I finished my 7 years. But Rashi's just bizarre. Because Rashi says, the Sheva Brachos pshat, which is not Pashal pshat, finish this seven, means Sheva Brachos. So Rashi says Sheva Brachos for no reason. Because the other pasuk he explains even weirder. The other pasuk he says, oh, I'm already old. Or, oh, I finished the amount of time that my mother told me. The Ramban says, wait, 1 second. Rashi, you think that's a convincing claim? Ubishvil hayamim sha'amra lo imo? Gamim nezik naso? Lo yitin lo lavan bito kodim zmano asher hisnu shnehem? V'dai sheikayim snow. If it was just Yaakov trying to convince Lavan to give him his daughter. Like, oh, look how old I am. I think Lavan cares. Lavan doesn't care about all that much, right? We learned that pretty quickly in these episodes. Right? Lavan is not the nicest guy. So, oh, come on, look, I'm really pretty old already. Can I have your daughter already? Even though the time hasn't finished. What? Once Rashi was already saying a weird shot here, Rashi at least should have said one of these two is referring to the 7 years. But Rashi instead says two totally different things. I'll leave that for homework for you guys. Try to defend Rashi. Where was Rashi going to? Ramban's got a really good time this. If you're going to say the first one doesn't mean 7 years, so at least say the second one means 7 years. If you're going to say the second one means Shem Brachos, at least say the first one means 7 years. Instead, Rashi basically says two weird things in either of them. Neither of them really seem to make sense. Why doesn't Shem Brachos make sense? I keep saying it doesn't make so much sense. The Ramban says, let's not really get the Shem Brachos thing. Even if you want, I understand. Unkelus and Ibn Ezra are push up shot in the first pasuk. Yaakov says, I finished my 7 years. But Shem Brachos? Wait. Vanilu yadati, ki shivas yemei amishta, takanas Moshe Rabbeinu liyisra. First of all, it happened at a later time. That's only a takana of the Rabbanan that Moshe made. Second of all, Moshe made it for the Jews. Right? It's like a Jewish thing to do this. And yet here, back in the day, Lavan and his people in Haran already said, oh no, look, just do me a favor and finish Sheva Brachos. Again, Sheva Brachos? It's really weird. You wouldn't have expected Lavan and his people to have this practice of partying for 7 days after they marry off their kid. So, really, it's kind of strange and pretty weak that Unkelus gets on to that. So, the Ramban suggests something fascinating. Ulai nemar shenagu bahem mitchila nechbadei ha'umos ki'inyan ha'avilos. Perhaps, the Ramban says, Shev Brachos were always a thing. From time immemorial, people of stature, nobles, the aristocrats of the olden times would always have parties for 7 days when they would marry off their kids. And Ramban says, just as you see that even before the Torah was given, they also had the 7 days of Avelos. It's a parallel of 7 days of partying, 7 days of sins. We step there as well. Not Yitzhak, but by Yaakov. And when Yaakov died, so they had 7 days of mourning, and they had the whole embalming process. But you see that that was already a thing. Right, to put it in layman's terms. It was already a thing. It was already done. Right? People already had this concept of, for years and years, even before the Torah was given, of having 7 days of partying when they would marry off a child, and 7 days of mourning when a person would unfortunately pass away. So Ramban suggests that maybe that's what Unkelus is referring to. You know, maybe they had this as a minhag. And then the Ramban also just notes something else, which is fascinating, but I don't know if we'll have as much time to go into it, but for those of you more halakhically inclined, this is really one of those Rambans where you see him weaving in both halakha and hashgafa together in one beautiful package. And he explains, Umashalam to be Yerushalmi, Bereshis Rabba. That which they learn out in the Yerushalmi, She'ema Arvin Simcha B'Simcha, that you don't mix Simcha B'Simcha. For example, this is why we don't get married on the regel, right? Because we don't mix Simcha B'Simcha. Or maybe why you're not supposed to have two feasts at the same time. You know, a Pidron and a Ben and a Prismila, let's say. I mean, assuming for two different kids, obviously. Or I guess if the kid needs a late Prismila, right? But how you don't mix those type of things together, or Simcha B'Simcha. So there's a rule that Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. There's a lot of lumdus as to why that is, right? That's a whole interesting sugya. What exactly Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha is? What's the core issue about mixing Simcha with Simcha? But the Yerushalmi and the Medrash learning out from over here, from Lavan, that Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Because after all, Lavan said, wait until Shev Brachos is over, and then we'll start the next Simcha. Don't mix two Simchas together. So Ramban doesn't like that at all. Smach ba'alma, minhagi ha'kadmonim kodem ha'Torah. And the Ramban says, yeah, that's just a minhag that they used to do. It's not actually a real source, because this was just the way that the minhag, this is the way that the, you know, the older generations, the earlier generations had always done. And when the Yerushalmi learns it from here, they're not really learning it as a real source. Instead, they're just sort of making it an asmacht, which is interesting, because the Ramban sounds like he thinks the Yerushalmi thinks it's only a derabanan construct, this idea of the rule of ein marvin simcha v'simcha. Avul b'gemara shalanu, but our gemara, in Moed Katan, the Bavli, learns lo lamdu mikan. It didn't learn it from here, instead it learns it from a drasha from Yah Shlomo Esachag. So, in terms of the methodology of the Ramban, there's a lot here. The Ramban's assuming that you couldn't have learned out a real halachic source from something which came pre-Matan Torah. The question is, why is that true? Aren't they also psukim in the Torah? We learned out other things from earlier psukim, pre-Matan Torah in the Torah. Can't I learn things from the Torah, like make drushos about halachos, even if like that particular story happened pre-Matan Torah? So the Ramban is assuming that it wouldn't have been a real source, which is interesting. The Ramban is also assuming, at least according to the Yerushalmi, it's only a derabanan concept of Eimar B'Tzibuk L'Simcha. But still yet, if you were holding your breath, this is not the point I wanted to get to. This final paragraph is what I found fascinating about this Ramban. So Ramban goes and he explains a different pshat. And he explains, you know what? Rashi was weird. I can't really explain Rashi. I want you guys to try to think about how to explain Rashi. Okay, Rashi I don't really get. Ibn Ezra and Onkelos, I hear more, but I still have to create this chiddush. They're like, you know, they actually had the Sheva Brachos during those times. And that's what the second part of the pasuk meant. The first pasuk, Yaakov says, I finished my 7 years. Next pasuk, a few pasukim later, when Lavan responds to him after saying, oh, just, you know, just do me a favor, finish these seven, he means Sheva Brachos. That's pretty weird, because Sheva Brachos really wouldn't have been around at that time. But what did the Ramban think? The Ramban has two different pshatim. Either, number one, Yaakov is saying the 7 years are completed. And that was what was going on in the first pasuk. The simple pshat. I finished my 7 years. And now, Lavan, afterwards, is just trying to sneak in a few extra days. He says, you know what? Just give me a few more days. Because after all, you didn't finish your 7 years. And Yaakov's like, wait a second. What? No, I did finish my 7 years. Think about it. The Ramban is saying, Pasha Pshat on both of these psukim doesn't mean I'm too old or they're the 7 days of the Mishneh. Rather, is that I finished my time. Okay, but how does it work? I finished my time. And then Lavan says, just finish the time. Wait a second. Yaakov says, I finished the time. A few psukim later, Lavan says, oh, I know I gave you the wrong daughter, but look, I'll give you the other daughter soon. Just finish the time that you had originally designated for the first daughter. And that's how you understand both psukim. But wait, I don't understand. What was the conversation? I think it already is highlighting to us something very important when we read this whole parsha by Yitzhak. And that is, in simple terms, what a slime ball Lavan was. Think about it. He just totally messed up his future son-in-law. This guy worked for him diligently, honestly, for 7 years. And you know what? When the pasuk tells us that Yaakov finished his years, do you think he did? Yeah, I think he did. I think he probably finished the 7 years exactly. And then he turned to Lavan and said, look, you know, I finished my time. Ready to go. And Lavan says, okay, yeah, sure. Lavan messes him over, gives him the wrong daughter, basically ruins Yaakov's life. Or at least that's what it felt like to Yaakov, I'm sure, at that moment. And Yaakov says, what did you do to me? And Lavan's like, hey, buddy, why don't you finish the time that you had initially owed me? And then I'll give you my other daughter. Spinning it on its head. As if Yaakov had cheated him, and Yaakov demanded his, you know, the wife too early or something. And therefore, Lavan had a right to, you know, fight fire with fire and give him the wrong daughter. And Lavan's like, yeah, you know what, why don't you finish your 7 years first, and then I'll give you the right wife. And Yaakov had no choice but to acquiesce, because he wanted to marry Rachel. And Lavan framed him and put him in this bad spot. And that's how you understand both psukim as referring to finishing the 7 years. Yaakov's like, I finished my 7 years. Lavan's like, oh, yeah, you want me to give you the right daughter? Finish your 7 years first. Yaakov's like, wait, I did finish my 7 years. But Lavan was such a jerk that he not only messed over Yaakov, who had worked honestly for him, but then he blamed Yaakov for it. It's like, he said, look, you finish your 7 years, and then we'll stick with our initial deal. Whoa. Okay, I thought that was fascinating way, and a perfect, beautiful way to explain these psukim, how both of them, on a simple level, are referring to the 7 years. But that's not it. The Ramban has another pshat. The Ramban says, no. Yaakov asked for his wife a little bit early. Yaakov was almost done with his 7 years. Kimol Yomai doesn't have to mean that he finished the 7 years exactly, but it means that I got up to the point where it's pretty much over. All right, look, you no longer have to worry. Lavan, why did you say, I'll only give her to you at the end of 7 years? Because you don't want me to marry your daughter? No, it's because you want me to do the 7 years of work, honestly, and not to run away from you and take your daughter, which is all I wanted anyhow, and run away from you. So you want me to stay here for all 7 years, okay? Look, it's almost up. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere, right? Give me your daughter right now. It's like 6 years and, I don't know, 200 days. We're almost there. We're almost at the end. So why don't you just give me your daughter. I can get married now. You know I'm not going anywhere and everything's fine. So it was just minus a few days. Kimol Yomai Yaakov says, I mean, I'm finished, right? I'm almost finished. So give me your daughter now and let's make things work. So then Lavan messes him over. And then Yaakov comes, you know, complaining. Let's go. What are you doing? Why'd you give me the wrong wife? And Lavan says back, look, finish these days. You know, take care to, you know, make sure you finish our initial deal. And I'm not even going to give you your wife yet. I'm not going to give you Rachel yet. Because I don't trust you. Because how do I know that you won't run away now? If I give you Rachel right now, we still have, I don't know, 50 days left, 100 days left to finish our contract. How do I know you're not going to go and run away? After all, the only reason why you wouldn't have run away is because you're waiting for my daughter. And now, if I give you my daughter, maybe you're going to run away right now. And especially once I've messed you over, I have to be careful to make sure that I don't give you any chance to say, oh, well, you messed me over, so I'm going to run away now. So actually, finish up your 7 years that we had initially planned, and then I'm going to go and give you my daughter. Within this pshat, I think, once again, we'll stick with the same word, you see what a slime ball Lavan was. Because Lavan messed over Yaakov after Yaakov trusted, and Yaakov said, look, you know, I'm not going anywhere. He tried to speak to him, like, sensibly. He's like, look, why don't you give me your daughter now? I won't run away. And then Lavan turns on him, messes him over, doesn't do at all what he requests. When Yaakov comes complaining, he says, look, I don't trust you. I know your type. If I give you my daughter right now, since I messed you over, you're going to mess me over right back, right here, right now. And I can't trust you. I'm not going to give you my other daughter. I'm not going to give you Rachel. And therefore, finish your 7 years first, and then I'll go ahead and give you my daughter. Again, both of these pshatim are very similar in that both of them are referring to the time that they had to finish. Except in the first pshat, the Ramban thinks Yaakov actually finished the time, and Lavan just was switching around the, you know, line and claiming Yaakov didn't finish the time. And the first one, Yaakov didn't actually finish the time, but Lavan messes over Yaakov and then suspects him that he would run away, and therefore says, look, finish your time. And I think that these two explanations of the Ramban really highlight this relationship between Yaakov and Lavan throughout the rest of the parsha. We see that Yaakov could not have been any more fair, honest in his dealings with Lavan. He was utterly righteous. We see at the end of the parsha, as we've talked about in the other Vadim, about how Yaakov was the perfect, he was the prototypical worker. He was somebody who spent all his time and all his strength invested in properly doing Avodas HaLavan, right? Making sure Lavan was properly taken care of. He cared for his sheep. He didn't cheat. He didn't do anything wrong. He stayed out there in the cold of night, and he watched over them if any animals came by. Yaakov took care of Lavan's sheep absolutely wholeheartedly. And nonetheless, Lavan, time and time again, messed him up. And not only on the simple levels where we see he gave him Rachel. He gave him Leah before Rachel. Or that later on he's on switching around which animals Yaakov's going to get. But even embedded already in the Pesukim here, as the Ramban is fantastic at doing, the Ramban mines little point after little point after little point to help show why Chazal characterized certain, you know, features of people in the Torah as being one way where you might not have picked it up on your own. The Ramban showed us how Lavan really was a jerk. He messed over Yaakov at every opportunity. So not only do we see from this Ramban where Chazal were coming from, wait, characterize Yaakov as the ideal worker and Lavan as the nightmarish boss. But I think something much deeper here, and this is the hashkafic point I wanted to drive home from this Ramban. Imagine what it was like to be Lavan. The type of person who's so self-absorbed, so focused on his own perspective, his own desires, his own understanding of the way things and people work, that you end up living a life where you mess over and you accuse even the nicest, most honest, most earnest individuals, because really, that's who you are. Love him with somebody who clearly lacked the capacity to see himself for who he really was. He thinks all along that he's a hero. And I think that's an important contrast. I have no idea whether Aesop thought he was a good guy or a bad guy. Aesop probably didn't think, the way Chazal characterized Aesop, Aesop probably didn't think he was a tzaddik. In fact, he knows, I'm going to die if I try to do this avodah we learned in last week's parsha, right? He's not the type of person who really thinks of himself as a tzaddik. He's not misguided. He's short-sighted in that he thinks that this world is worthwhile. And he's a slave to his desires. And he's maybe a terrible person because he rapes and he pillages and he murders. He's terrible things, right? That's Aesop. That's one type of Rasha. But Lavan in this parsha is in sharp contrast to that. You don't see Lavan murdering. In fact, from the Ramban earlier, it sounded like Lavan was somebody who was pretty careful about some of the mitzvot. He was careful not to make sure that his daughter wouldn't get, you know, bothered by any of the shepherds. Lavan was a pretty good person, maybe in terms of his way of keeping of certain basic, obvious mitzvot, or avoiding certain basic, obvious averos. But in terms of character, look how decrepit Lavan was. Look how he was somebody who, on all levels, could have been defined as religious, as somebody who didn't murder or rape. But he was someone who was utterly dishonest, and at his core, someone who expected of everybody else, even the most honest of workers, to be tricksters and cunning, sly liars. He blamed Yaakov for everything that had happened, as if it was Yaakov's fault. Kept on spinning again, I don't trust you. Or, what do you mean, you liar? You didn't finish your work. You've just been lazy. Or, you switched my things around. Or, how come you stole my grandchildren out from beneath me after I forced you to stay here for years beyond when you wanted to? Lavan is the type of person who, you know, Esav, I assume, when he gets up to Shemayim, isn't surprised by his fate. But Lavan will be. Because Lavan thinks he's a good guy. And then he realizes, only at the end of days, that actually, he was horrible. I think that's an important mussar for all of us, is to think about in our own lives how important it is not only to go about living the basic actions as if we were genuinely connected to Hashem, which we also need to take those external actions and live that way. But in terms of who we are at our core, how we view ourselves, do we always assume we're right? Do we always blame the other? Do we have no room for maybe trying to understand the other person's perspective in our own lives? And if we do, we should realize how that's not a good trait to have. That's a love type of trait. And the major message, I think, from this week's parsha is to appreciate how far, far gone Lavan is, and Arami Ovidavri, Lavan is from our Masorah. He's the least religious person, perhaps, that we can find. And Yaakov, on the opposite, was somebody who was just known for being the prototype of what it means to be a Jew. Somebody who was honest and truly good-hearted. An ish tam. To conclude, I want to end off with what I think is a really, really profound story. And I think it was about one of the, I don't remember for sure, but I think it was about one of the Rosh Yeshiva of Tells in Cleveland. It might have been Rev Gifter. It might have been Rev Eliamar Blach. I don't remember for sure. But the point of the story is that there was this great rabbi, one of these Rosh Yeshiva, who was on a plane, as many of these stories go. And sitting next to him was somebody who was pretty anti-religious. And he sees this rabbi, he thinks easy prey. He turns to him and he starts ripping into him. He says, "Rabbi, I don't get it. What's with you religious Jews? You know, I was just reading about in the papers how there's this slumlord, dressed in, you know, Hasidish garb, and he was found guilty on charges of unlawfully evicting tenants and driving up the rent and having these rat infestations. And what about that other guy, you know, this one?" Let's, you know, be politically correct. "He's wearing a kippah surga, and he's that one. He's involved in some Ponzi scheme, and he's embezzling money, and he's avoiding tax. What is with you religious Jews?" And the Rosh Yeshiva turns to him. He says, "Yeah, I know. It's killing me too." He says, "What's with all these religious Jews that are driving a temple on Shabbos and, you know, just violating the Sabbath, just desecrating it? And what about all these religious Jews who are, you know, sitting in McDonald's and eating ham and strips of bacon? It's ridiculous. What is with these religious Jews?" And The guy's a little confused. He turns to the Rosh Yeshiva. He says, wait, Rabbi, those Jews aren't religious. And the Rosh Yeshiva says back, neither are those. Neither are those. We have to remember that to be an honest, real Jew, we have to be honest. Can't just live our lives doing the mitzvot, davening, even learning Torah, and not also driving that point home, bringing it into our hearts that the real identity of a Jew is somebody who, like Yaakov Avinu, like our great ancestor, Yaakov Avinu, in this week's parasha, was known as being a paradigm of virtue, of being somebody who was absolutely ethical, honest, earnest in all of his dealings. And Amir Tashem, we should all merit to make a huge Kiddush Hashem in everything that we do.